Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, May 22nd, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Sam Phillips. Sam is a new member of Mountain Brook Baptist, and his wife Libby is our Associate Minister of Music. I can't wait for you to hear more about Sam's life and faith at the end of the podcast. But first, he'll read God's Word for us. Thank you, Sam, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'll be reading out of Genesis chapter 27, verses 34 through 46 from the ESV. As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." Then he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me even also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent him and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about you by planning to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to Laban, my brother in Haran, and stay with him a while, until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereft of both in one day?" Then Rebekah said to Isaac, "I loathe my life because of the Hittite women. If Jacob marries one of the Hittite women like these, one of the women of the land, what good will my life be to me?" Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and directed him, "You must not take a wife from the Canaanite women. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take as your wife from there one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother." Our second reading is Psalm 131. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore.
Thank you so much, Sam, for joining the podcast and reading so beautifully for us. We're so grateful that you and Libby have joined Mountain Brook Baptist. I would love to get to know you a little bit better and learn about your past. Tell me where you grew up and about your family.
I grew up in Billings, Montana. I have a younger sister, and both my sets of grandparents were living in Montana at the time. One lived up at a farm near Stanford, and we lived in Billings.
And did you go to visit the farm often?
Yes, my life was split between going to the farm and staying in the city. So I had a good combination of both the cowboy aesthetic of Montana mixed in with a bit of city living.
So did you move from Montana to school here at Samford?
My dad got a teaching job in Oklahoma when I was 12 years old. So we all left and moved to Oklahoma, a place I'd never thought about. I'd never imagined I'd be moving there. And I remember pulling in and hearing cicadas for the first time.
So there's no cicadas?
There's no cicadas in Montana. It's absolute quiet when you're out in nature, typically. But I was overwhelmed by the noise of that coming out and overwhelmed by humidity.
What were some of your extracurricular activities when you were a kid?
When I was a kid, I played a lot of soccer. When I didn't have anything else to do, I would go and kick the soccer ball for extreme amounts of time. I would go hours at a time, kind of to a scary extent. I would just kick the ball against a baseball diamond. That's what I would do all day.
Did you play all the way through high school?
Most of the way through high school. I got a bit distracted by music about halfway through high school.
You began to love music?
I did. Well, I'd always loved music. I grew up playing the violin, so I started the violin at 4. And I got into drama while still in Montana. I was in a church play, and the church play kind of kicked off this acting instinct. I wanted to be an actor in middle school. And so I signed up for the drama elective, and then I found out they're doing a musical. And I don't want to do a musical. I want to act. I want to be a real theater actor. I want to do Shakespeare.
You do have a wonderful voice for Shakespeare.
That. Thank you. But we had tryouts for the musical. I was not very invested in it, but I went to sing, and it went surprisingly well, to the extent that maybe I should just do this instead.
So what was the musical?
It was the Seussical musical.
Okay.
Seussical. It's an interesting one.
I'm going to need to see a picture from this.
There might be. I was a monkey. I had a tail and everything. There was a lot of dancing involved, which I did not have the same experience. I was not a naturally gifted dancer. That was not my takeaway from the Seussical musical.
That's awesome. So you did a lot of music in high school as well?
Yes. Then I kept pursuing the singing instinct. So I kept doing musicals all through high school. And I had a really formative, good teacher who gave me good instincts and a good desire to keep doing it. And I got the lead in the sophomore year musical. I was the Beast in Beauty and the Beast.
Ooh, now I really want to see a picture of that.
That really cemented everything. So,
Okay, well, I want to come back to music, yes. But first let's do a couple of get to know you questions. Do you prefer cooking or do you want to get takeout?
To cook, typically. I get more satisfaction from that.
What are some of your specialties?
I like making zuppa toscana.
Whoa.
It started out as like an Olive Garden copycat recipe, but now I actually prefer it to the Olive Garden variety. And I like making chicken parm too. I like Italian food.
Very sophisticated. Are you an introvert or an extrovert?
Introvert who does my best to be extroverted when I need to be. So especially at my job.
I like that. Yes. Okay, what is your job?
I work at Chewy's at the present, and that's maybe been the thing that's rattled my introvert cage the most. I've had to grow a lot in my off-the-cuff thinking, off-the-cuff responding with guests who I can never predict the next thing they're going to say.
Right, because you need to be amiable with them.
Yes, and you quickly realize the better attitude I can have, the more money I'm going to make. And that's a decent incentive for cheering up.
Yes, it is. Let's back up now to after high school, you came to Samford University. Did you come to pursue a career in music?
I suppose I did. I was a little confused senior year. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do.
I didn't either.
Especially with arts. I was really into drawing at the time, too. I was planning on going to OBU in Oklahoma City. I was all set to go. And then the last minute, I pulled the plug right after we had done The Sound of Music. And I was Captain Von Trapp. And I was like, I still think I need to pursue this music idea. So pulled the plug. I think it was April. I finally toured Samford. And I stepped on to the campus and realized, this is a place I'll be excited to go. This is a place I actually want to go.
And that's where you met Libby, correct?
We did meet, yes. We met at a cappella choir camp. So every year before the school gets started, all the choir students get there, and we spend the whole week rehearsing. And I was sitting alone in the caf, and she was sitting with some of her friends. And I suppose we had noticed each other throughout the week. I was invited to go sit with her. And at first, I didn't know who had invited me and who wanted me over there. But I quickly learned it was Libby. And
you start pursuing her?
Yes, I asked her out maybe a week later. It was. I asked her, we went to an RUF event together. And then after that, I said we should go on a date somewhere. So we went to breakfast on our first date.
I also know that you have an interest in opera. How did that come about? And how do you even study for opera?
Well, I came into Samford with my heart dead set on musical theater still. And I soon came to realize that my real interest was Golden Age musical theater. And Golden Age musical theater is not very different from opera. So then I was lucky enough to be cast as Papageno in Mozart's Magic Flute. And that really cemented my whole idea that this is what I actually want to do. I want to do opera. The music, it felt so much more alive and real to me. And really enjoyed the physicality, the acting, the combination of everything I like in music I found in opera.
Mm-hmm. Recently, you've joined the National Guard. Is that something you wanted to do for a long time?
Yeah, I suppose during college it was always something I felt I might one day do. Just the opportunity never quite presented itself in a way I could take advantage of. But the last few months, this last semester, I really felt a strong calling towards it. And so far, it's been very rewarding.
How does it work? Do you go and sign on? And then what do you have to do training-wise to get prepared?
It was an interesting process getting signed on. It's quite intimidating. I think they design it that way just to make sure you're really committed to it. I'm fortunate in a way. I really got in love with exercise in college. And I guess that's one thing I saw in the Guard as a potential benefit is I really like the synthesis of good thinking paired with like an outdoor physical activity. A lot of gym work, which I'm already happy to do.
I know. So Wayne sees you at the gym some, and also another Guard member, Austin Clifton. I know you guys had a conversation before you entered the Guard. Did he give you some practical wisdom?
He definitely did. He was so helpful in getting me oriented and what the next steps should be. And going in there well-equipped, well-informed, knowing the best way to proceed.
What will your job be in the Guard?
I'll be working in intelligence, so it's something I'm really excited about. It's what my dad actually did. He learned Russian, so he was based in Germany, and his job was to listen to Russian communications.
Let's talk about how you came to faith and what your journey with the Lord has been like.
I can remember a moment, maybe I was around 9 years old, when I did make that commitment. It stands out to my mind. I'm not totally sure even what I said, but I remember that moment for some reason, so I choose to believe it probably happened in that moment. I mean, I'd grown up never far from church, never far from God. I was well-raised then, and I never doubted it since. I've felt the call further and further, especially in college. Just the uncertainty of where am I going to go to church? What do I actually believe? Now I'm away from my parents. Some of that was a bit uncertain. There was some push and pull, like where should I settle down spiritually? But I think I'm really lucky that Mountain Brook, eventually I discovered it, even though it wasn't very far from Samford. It took me 5 years.
Yeah. It's only 3 miles. When have you sensed the Lord's nearness in a difficult situation?
The uncertainty after graduating undergrad, it was a troubling time. What career path there was for me, music's really tough right out of college. And so I was still working at Chewy's, I was unsure. And then I broke my arm in a freak arm wrestling accident.
Oh no, are you serious?
Yes, so I have a large scar running all the way up my arm and
note to self, no more arm wrestling.
No more arm wrestling. I don't recommend it for anybody. It's not worth it. So I was already kind of scraping by, just wondering what's next. And then that catastrophic injury. Even right off the bat, I kind of felt like it was a necessary reset. Like it just reoriented a lot of my life. Libby came down to take care of me, and I feel like that really cemented our relationship together. In a way, like we realized we could live for each other, support each other. Realizing we could survive a tough time together.
Had you already proposed to her at that point?
I had not. I proposed 9 months later. Yeah, I proposed in May of 2025.
And you guys are pretty much newlyweds.
We are, yeah. We got married January 2nd.
So about 5 months in.
5 months in, yeah.
What is something that you have learned about marriage?
Just the required, like, admin work of it. I feel like I wasn't prepared for how much, like, delegation of responsibilities, making sure we're both on the same page with just mundane things that you assume will get done, but someone's got to take responsibility for.
As a new member of Mountain Brook Baptist, what is something that you appreciate about the church?
I appreciate how easy it is to get plugged in with different ministry teams. And I don't know, it was so easy for me to get plugged in with the choir. And that's been such a benefit, even beyond just coming in and hearing the word. Like, living in that community has been really great.
I love seeing you and Libby serve in that way. And you've also sung in the contemporary worship.
Yes, yes. She's been pushing me, stretching me outside my comfort zone, having me sing there too.
As far as the passages, do either of them stick out to you? And is there a word or a phrase that you would like to comment on?
I think the psalm especially sticks in my mind, the idea of calm. So often I'm a worrier, I'm stressed about everything, and I feel like I need to have the solution for it right now to get things fixed. And if I don't come up with the solution, it won't get done. And I think just that idea of calm, that I can rest easy knowing that things are going to be all right with the, I don't know, with God as my support.
Yes, that in His presence, we can have peace, knowing that He is in control. What are some things that you listen to regularly, or maybe something that would be on your playlist?
My playlist, much to Libby's chagrin, is full of Tom Waits.
I've never heard of Tom Waits.
It's kind of the antithesis of everything beautiful you find in opera. Well, I still think it's beautiful, but he's very raspy. He has this sort of sound to him.
What do you like about him?
Having gone through all this vocal pedagogy and understanding a voice, I like that he can be so expressive and so musically communicative in a way that's unlike anything I heard in, like, conservatory and opera. It's very, like, guttural, very, like, earthy. And I think it suits some other aspects of my life. Chewie's, the army experience.
He's the voice of that?
Underlying, like, I don't know. He's an interesting mix of, like, heavenly and kind of difficult, earthy, like,
the struggle.
Seedy. Yeah.
What else?
I listen to a lot of opera still. I particularly like Handel Oratorio. There's some bass arias I really enjoy from that. I haven't sung many of them yet, but I really enjoy listening to them. And it gives scripture to me, like, this energy and this vitality that really makes me excited. Like, it's music you can listen to while you're running or lifting weights. And I feel like we don't get enough, like, scripture workout music. Also on my playlist, I really like the aria, Why Do the Nations Rage So Furiously Together? It's something that comes to me. I'll be at work, I'll be at Chewy's, and that'll spring into my mind out of nowhere. I'll be in the dish pit just putting things away, and maybe I'll be feeling like I'm raging, but I'll start singing that song just to myself, or kind of going back to that idea of calm. Like, it's a song about kind of all the turmoil and wrestling we encounter here on earth, and the idea that we're under poor leadership here on earth, but that God is coming to set things straight. And that's a comforting feeling for me at work. One final song that might be on my playlist is At the River, the arrangement by Aaron Copland. It has a lot of special meaning to me. I sang it at my grandfather's funeral, and it's always felt like something special ever since then.
Sam, thank you so much for joining the podcast and for reading for us and sharing about your life and faith. I'm wondering if you might sing At the River for us as a prayerful response and expectation that we as believers have, mindful that one day we will all gather around the throne of Christ and we will be in the new heavens and the new earth.
Shall we gather at the river, where bright angels' feet have trod?
with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows.